Isaiah cried out to God, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies even, and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him." Perhaps this is the answer to Isaiah's prayer. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Or is this the answer? In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." Or is this the answer? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I wish I could have built some sound effects into this PowerPoint. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Oh, that God would rend the heavens and pour out his Spirit on us, on Philomath. Oh, wait, maybe he already has. By the way, in the next few weeks, we'll be talking a little bit more about that verse, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and speaking with other tongues. One more verse. As a result of the apostles' work, your word, Julie, your prayer, I regard it as prophetic this morning that we would touch, if we would just touch the hem of his garment, referring to the garment of Jesus, of course, and may even talk about that verse a little bit. I kind of had it as a, we'll see, non-thinking, probably. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats, so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were healed. They were all healed. Here's my prayer for us all this morning. Lord, I actually heard this phrase, and I couldn't remember. I was asking Karen, when did someone talk to us about this? And it finally dawned on me just this morning, And here's the title of this morning's message. Lord, make us hosts of the Holy Ghost. Just one amen? Amen. We'll set that aside, the title, just for a second. When you see this logo, Pepsi, and okay, pretty easy there, huh? Under Armour. Easiest one. Yes. Oh, I see. Yeah, that's pretty funny, because my next question is this. What logo marks your life? Gosh, I just got branded or something. So now, seriously, if this is kind of hard to segue, yes, to separate. My thought for showing this is just to get you to think a bit, other than clothes or sports branding. So it's evident that I like Nike. It's evident. What is evident in your life, not clothing fad, but just in terms of what marks your life? I'm going to help you with this. What mark is visible to others in your life? And maybe this will even help more. I thought about showing a bunch of emojis. You know, and we've got whether the smiling face or the mad face or the dollar signs face we could just go all kinds of directions with that. But I want you to think about that. Just what marks, what's evident? What do people see? I'm not going to ask you to. It'd be fun to have a conversation and to even discuss at length, but maybe another time. But I just want you to think about, you know, what it is. Not what I want to be necessarily. That's a different. But what is evident most of the time? Yes. Yes. And so we can often be more critical than we ought, or we can often be more. What's the word I'm looking for? No, that wasn't the word. Misguided. What's deceived? We could be deceived and not be aware. Show the next slide, Daniel. That's not a logo, right? It's a diamond ring. That's exactly right. That's the eclipse, and that's what is referenced as a diamond ring. But I wanted to talk about the eclipse just for a second. It's been 2 months already since the eclipse, and I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like that. It was just one of those things that it just takes your breath away, and talk about awe and wonder, and you know, you just, and then it's gone. I mean, it's over. And you want to go, like, rewind button. You know, can we see that again? Do that again, God. And then I don't know if go to the next. I tried to build. I'm working on my PowerPoint abilities to be able to instantly have a video pop in. But show the, can you click on that video there real quick? It's just a real quick, it's a 4-second video, so watch it. That might not be the one. So I don't think that's the one. There it is. Do it again. Oops. I thought that was worth it. It would be cool. I'm gonna figure it out. So pray for my technique and my technical skills here. But you know, I was thinking about that. Let me ask this question. What overshadows your life? One more question. Whose shadow do you cast? Whose shadow do you cast? And if that's not quite the idea is what creates the shadow that you walk in? The Holy Spirit dwells in each of us that have made Jesus Lord of our life. Yes? In fact, I'll pull this verse up a little bit later, but there's one that out of John 3, yeah, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. So we are in essence hosts. This is where I like this term, hosts of the Holy Ghost, hosts of the Holy Spirit. That's kind of humbling to me when I think about that. Is that really true? And if so, what does that really mean? I'm glad you asked. Because the question, I mean, when you think about what it means to host, a year ago, almost to the date, in fact, exactly to the date, a year ago, Ed and I were, Pastor Ed Sweet and I went to Western Africa, and we were in Liberia for a few days and then in Sierra Leone, and we were hosted by the Liberian, the Liberian Foursquare Church, and then by the Sierra Leonean Foursquare Church. We had given them our itinerary, and when we arrived at the airport, there was someone to meet us. They had prepared to have a vehicle to load our boxes and gear, and took us to the ferry, and anyhow, they would do that they would come and pick us up, and so we didn't have to drive through the traffic. They would come and get us, and when it was time to eat, they would feed us, and I mean, they hosted us, and they, I might say, those of us that have been there before, they're excellent hosts. Would you say? So I've been asking myself, and I'm encouraging you to do the same, to, you know, what kind of hosts, if the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is dwelling in our lives, what kind of hosts are we? If we pray, rend the heavens, and I think we do, I know we at least pray, come Holy Spirit. And we realize that it's not like he left us, but we're you know, welcoming and reminding, you know, come Holy Spirit. Are we not extending an invitation to welcome, to host the Holy Spirit? And our response, because sometimes that we ask the question that Mary asks, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. I'm only human. I mean, that's what we would say. God, how does this happen? And if you want me to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life and to accomplish kingdom things through my life, how does that happen? How does that be? we see, well, I'll just leave it at that. But our response needs to be like Mary. Mary said, behold. In fact, is this, bring that, this one, I have the next slide, I think. Let's read that. In fact, let's read the whole thing. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. Then Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That we can do. We can't make the Holy Spirit do stuff, do miracles. We can't do miracles, but we can do that. Let it be. I don't fully understand. In fact, I don't understand at all. That's Mary's response. Like, what? Okay. You are God. You do miracles. Let it be to me according to your word. We sing this song. And you know what the name of this song is? I mean, I told you the song, so I guess you wouldn't know. So I'll say it this. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. What is the name of that song? Holy Spirit. I didn't realize that. I was looking up the lyrics because I wanted it. I go, well, that's interesting. That's the name of the song. Holy Spirit. As is mine. I think as is many of ours. But let me read the lyrics. Holy Spirit, I mean, we know it. You are welcome here. Come flood this place? No. This place. Yes? Host, we're hosts, right? The building isn't a host. Well, come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, Lord, your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Then the end of that, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. So that song is not intended to be a Sunday morning 1 hour experience like the eclipse. Let us be, wow! Did you see that? One more time. You know, let's sing it again. Maybe five more times, you know, and as though that, man, wasn't worship. Man, it was good stuff. You could just feel the Spirit. Now that's true, and we say that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it's as though that was it, and now we're going to kind of get on with the rest of our day. And we would have missed the essence of what that song is all about. It's come fill us. Let us be more aware of your presence as we go and live our lives, establishing the kingdom of God walking through doors of opportunity that God gives us. Casting our shadow, not our shadow, but our shadow that is in the light, in the sunlight of His glory. So our response is not to be awe and wonder. Did you see? Did you feel that? Our part is to be what? What's the word? Host. Not ghost. Host. And that constant prayer, Lord, let us become more aware of Your presence. I've added a, I don't think they'll probably use my lyric here, but let us become more aware of Your itinerary. Doesn't really flow, does it? So I will. This is the hem of His garment right here. Awareness. That's the key word. That's why what caught me is that Jesus was not just aware of something leaving of the power. It wasn't like, whoa, wait a minute, wait, you know, there it goes. I mean, it was just, you know, He's full of the Spirit of God. So it wasn't like, whoa, and now I've lost something. He's just aware of something occurring in the Spirit that the Holy Spirit had touched, had ministered. And I just think, man, that, I mean, the crowd is pressing, there's all this stuff going on, and wait. And of course He knew, but He's letting everybody else know that He knew. But more than that, there wasn't just an awareness of the power of the Holy Spirit touching someone, healing someone. There was an awareness, you know, Jairus, you know, that's the context of this passage. Jairus had come to him, my daughter is sick, she's dying. If you can come and pray for her so that she'll be healed. And so he's, you know, there's this sense of urgency. I mean, if I'm the dad, it's like, let's go. And then all the crowds around, they're trying to get through the crowd, and then Jesus stops in the middle of that. He's aware of something that's taking place. And I think of so many times that that there are I'm on my way somewhere. I'm doing something, and it's probably always something important. Well, at least some of the time. And then I'm interrupted, and only later I'm aware of this. Later, I realize I think the interruption was more important than where I was headed. So Jesus is aware that He's the one, you know, He's modeling for us that He's hosting the Holy Spirit. And He's aware of the Holy Spirit's itinerary and what the Holy Spirit is doing. Let us be aware. Let us be more aware of His presence. That song is a powerful, powerful, not just prayer. I mean, there is exegesis there. There's something of import that we recognize and allow it to lead our lives, impact our lives. And I'll say this. How much time? Oh, I'm doing okay. In my own mind. So let's go back to that verse. This is where I inserted this. John 3:34. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. How? Without measure. He gives the Spirit without measure. Just the context of this verse. I just love it. So I'm reading 34. Now read verse 30. Let's read that together. He must become greater and greater. I must become less and less. And what's the context there? What's John the Baptist is talking because, well, he's being not really criticized, but he's being compared to, just like his disciples are saying, you know, wait a minute, you know, people are following Jesus, and you know, what about you? You know, and but John recognizes what? That he is a host. Talk about a host of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist, you know, that's that he came to prepare the way. And so when he's being compared or being like, hey, he says, wait a minute. It's all about him. He must increase, I must decrease. And I just that's you know, talk about something that helps us to be a better host. He must increase, I must decrease. What make room, what his itinerary is, what his plans are. Oh, you need to be picked up where? Oh, you need to be taken where? Oh, you need to be, I mean, talk about meals on wheels. Setting aside my agenda and my comfort. So just a couple of other things, give you a couple of examples. But I want to throw the negative in there. There's two places in the scripture that, you know, there's all these this talk about the Holy Spirit and God, you know, wanting to use the Holy Spirit, wanting the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, to not just fill our lives so that we've got the warm fuzzy or gifts or whatever, but that we're ministering and not in our own strength, but in the power. Joel, you mentioned that this morning. Ministering, I can't minister unless I'm ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly right. That's what's necessary. And so when Paul tells the Ephesians, he says, hey, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians 4:30. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Good question. So let's talk just a couple of minutes about grieving and quenching. We're not talking about condemning, but we are talking about being a host. And so just think about the things that we allow to occur in our lives that might make the Holy Spirit wince. And what might cause the Holy Spirit to wince or to be? It could be as simple as letting something unkind be spoken to someone. A kind word might have been needed and there was a harsh word given. It could be an emotion of anger or selfishness, or you know, it could be something as minor, if you want to call those minor things. Jesus really didn't refer to them as minor things. Anger with your brother, he compared that with murder. So just things like that would cause grief. Quenching, you know, maybe not allowing the flow of the power of the Holy Spirit to work. And that could be, you know, just a lack of faith or a lack of obedience. Yeah. So what would bring water to the fire? Unbelief. That would be my main would be lack of faith, doubt, pride, disobedience. No, my will, not yours. So, you know, there's that the word of the Lord is, you know, to be a host of the Holy Ghost, not to grieve, not to quench. I talked about Smith Wigglesworth. I don't think I would have liked Smith Wigglesworth. If you read anything about him, he's very abrasive. He's not a people person. But having said that, some of his messages, some of his actions, some of his faith, very, very challenging. And just was reminded this last week of, and I'd forgotten about this, there was one time when he was just sitting on a train and must have been in a train that was moving somewhere, and as people would come and move through the car, they would just fall on their knees and cry out for forgiveness. There was just something about, I'm thinking about Peter and walking and people being healed, just being in a shadow. It's like, you know, we don't see a lot of that today that I'm aware of. But there was something that was so very powerful about just the presence that of the Spirit, not just the presence of Smith Wigglesworth, mind you, the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. I mean, he's the one that would say, he would sit at the post office. I pictured this when the post office used to be on Main Street, him sitting on that bench right there and just watching people go by. And is this the one, Lord? Is this the one? Is this the one? And just waiting there for hours, maybe. And the Lord said, that's the one right there. And the guy's on the wagon. He jumps up on the wagon and asks the guy for a ride. And the guy says, absolutely. And the minute he gets up there, he begins to tell this guy about God. The guy abruptly stops the wagon and says, if you're going to talk to me about God, you can get off right now. And Smith was so caught, like, and so he just, instead of responding to the guy, he looks up to God and just says, but God, I thought you said this was the guy. To which the guy responds and says, God told you to say something to me? Because Smith was so convinced, he walked in such authority that it caught this guy's attention and ended up leading him to the Lord. Charles Finney. He would just walk into a factory. This is New York City, I believe. Don't quote me on that one. But he'd walk, this I do know, walk into a factory and the whole factory shut down. There was a repentance that took place. That's casting quite a shadow. That's another, and that's not the ultimate. I'm not showing or referring to these guys as though they are the ultimate hosts. Oh, if we could be like them. No. Oh, that we could be like Mary. Oh, that we could be like John the Baptist. Oh, that we could be like Karen and Marcy and TR. And just, you know, that we could be just who we are, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our lives and to lead our lives. Well said. And because that's back to Mary again. Me and my smelly, I mean, whatever I've got. And that's such a beautiful picture, because that's all that God requires, is just who we are and what we've got. Just that the boy with the little sack lunch, you know, he gave what he had. Jars of clay, that's all we are. And the Holy Spirit, and that's the beauty of it. If we were something magnificent, then who would get the glory? Us. But it's we're intended, it's intended for the glory of God to be evident in our lives, lest we think it's something of ourselves and stand in the way and nullify it. So good word. Good word. Jim Cimbala, you're still standing. I want to pray in a second, but he asked this question in it's Fresh Fire. He asked this, could it be that we're missing out on some wonderful blessings planned for our lives and churches because we're not properly acquainted with the person and work of God, the Holy Spirit? Properly acquainted. My prayer is that we are properly acquainted. So I'd ask you to hold your hands out in front of you, if you would. And we pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. We invite you to have your way in us. We want to host you. Lord, show us your itinerary. Would you rend the heavens and set our hearts on fire? And Lord, may we cast your shadow on our world. And then I'm going to ask you to put your hand on someone beside you, would you? And I'm going to pray this. Lord Jesus, let there be a fresh baptism of fire on my brother, on my sister. Would you give them grace to host the presence of your Spirit? Lord, would you increase encounters of your Spirit, that there would be an increased connectivity, an increased awareness? And then would you lift your hands with me? And, oh Lord, we join with Isaiah and cry out, rend the heavens. That is, Lord, would you pour out your Spirit, not to bless us. I mean, you can bless us too. But, Lord, not just for blessing, but, Lord, for an empowering, an impartation of your Spirit. Lord, would you raise up a new generation of hosts of the Holy Ghost? We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be praying. It just seems like a prayer that needs to be repeated. And I join with Paul, and you just hear his heart praying all the time for all the churches. And can I just encourage you to just pray for each other in that way, that we would become that it would be evident, that we wouldn't need a logo we kind of have a logo of the Holy Spirit. That, I guess that logo would be more evident. Yeah. And the cross. So may the Spirit of God be upon, even in each of us, and may the mark, may his mark be evident more and more. In Jesus' name.